words appear. The email addresses and groups mentioned in this program are no longer available. The Blind Handyman group does exist in its new incarnation on groups.io. To join, send a blank email to blindhandyman+subscribe@groups.io. That's blindhandyman+subscribe@groups.io. Alternatively, you can join our Blind Handyman Facebook group. Links will be in the description box below.
Show recorded at the Little Ranch House right here on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. Show number 66, and this is January 26, 2004. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. The host for the Blind Handyman, Don Shaw, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Mr. Tom, it's good to have you back with us again.
Thank you, sir. Hi, Don Patterson.
Tom Houston. Well, I thought there was Mark over there for a minute. Nice to have you back, Thomas.
It is certainly nice to be back. My name, of course, is Tom Houston. But, ladies and gentlemen, here's the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show. His name is none other than Phil Parr. And it's so good to have him with us today.
You know, $30,000 a year is a lot of money. But, I can't
should have took it.
I should have took
is
it.
Is that the offer?
I think that's about what it'd pay. I turned him down. I sold him out. I couldn't be bothered. Welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. Number, what is this, number 66?
66.
Good Lord.
It is.
What have we done, guys? 66 of these little hour-long.
Now, if we make it to 666, we'll have to skip one.
We'll be in trouble.
It will be in big trouble.
Oh, it took us how long to get here and how long? How old would we be,
Mr. 66? Well,
an aging producer.
The career. Way I felt last week, I don't think I'll make it to 666.
It'll be now, here's the creator, and, you know, that kind of stuff. Houston?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Don't take off anymore, okay?
Well, you know, I wanted to be here. You know that.
I know you did.
But
you
I was so sick.
Boy, you were Friday. You scared me a little bit Friday. I didn't know what this deal was.
I was in my doctor's office while y'all were doing the Blind Handyman Show at 3:15. That was when my appointment took place.
Well, even Friday, after being sick for a week, you didn't sound good Monday. Friday, I told Luann, you know. I'd mark on standby. No, only kidding. Only kidding. It's a joke.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks. When you can't breathe, and I'll go along. Phil told me this.
Yeah.
When you can't breathe, nothing else matters.
That's right. When you can't breathe, everything else is it. Whether your car won't start or whether you have chopped liver for supper, nothing else matters if you can't breathe.
Exactly. You got that right.
Well, I started checking those key man insurance policies, Houston, but unfortunately, you're not one of the key men.
Doggone it. Well, you know, they called me before they called Phil.
I did call Mark for breakfast.
I told him my plate was too full.
But the thing about doing the show and running the board is we're all in the same room. We're all sitting in this room. It's what, 17, 15, 16 by 18 or something?
Yeah.
Room. We're all sitting around a big table here that the console sits on, the board sits on, with all the equipment around Tom. And you can't cue anything while you're on the air.
Well, you really can't.
No, you can't.
No.
You got to cue it on the earphones, but then you're trying to listen in one ear and cue in the other ear. You're trying to talk to the guy that you're interviewing or kind of try to help keep things going, and I hate it.
So it's neat to be able to have somebody to sit here and run the board.
Yeah, because you can
like to do that.
You can cue. We can cue with sight, whereas I can't.
And okay. read the email.
Hey.
I had to read the email last night.
And even.
Did you? Hey, all
and,
right.
You, and he did good too. And even
excellent
if you
email read that, that Don Patterson, buddy,
he's an excellent driver. Excellent. even if you couldn't cue with sight, you could cue on the B channel if you knew how. You could cue in the headphones as long as someone else was doing the talking.
Exactly.
But you can't do both. I hate it.
And you guys do all the talking, so that gives me time to look around and cue stuff up and all that kind of good stuff.
Well, I guess if we weren't all in the same room, it wouldn't make any difference. But
actually, it feels kind of like old home week. Every week when we do this show, because we sit around and talk to each other all the time anyway.
We do. We'd be doing.
Yeah.
We're just not talking on the radio. We'd be talking.
Oh, yeah. We'd be sitting here talking anyway.
I don't usually have headphones when we're talking in the playroom, but I mean,
Yeah. We could have.
I guess we could have, yeah.
We could have.
Yeah, but we have been known to pause for commercials, though. You know, play a spot and then resume the conversation.
Exactly.
All right, Tommy, do we have email this week?
Well, we've got some things off the list that I thought might be interesting and some questions here that we might could consider.
What you mean is we don't have any real email. That's at the bottom line there.
Vicky Black had this, and she said, does anybody know where you can get posts for clotheslines? I had one, but one of the posts, that's plural, snapped off in a storm.
Yeah.
And I've waited for my sighted son to help out, and I'm tired of waiting. I miss that fresh air smell in my clothes. There were two tees of metal pipe with holes in them for running line through and set in the ground with concrete.
Sure.
So tell her, guys, answer
well,
that question.
Well, Lowe's, Home Depot.
There you go.
By the way, speaking of Home Depot, we have one now, Linda.
We sure do.
We do.
It's officially open.
We have a Home Depot. You don't like it though, Pat, huh? You do like Lowe's better?
Well, I'm not familiar. We've gone twice, and they had a better selection on one item and then not as good as. And then I just checked the, kind of the project, whatever project I'm working on or involved with at the time is at the forefront there. So fence is what I'm concentrated on. And they were about $4 a section higher than Lowe's, Home Depot was on a particular fence that I've been looking at.
How are we doing?
So on the fence, on the clothesline post, most of the metal ones I've seen were kind of like homemade. I mean, I don't know where she lives or what kind of area. You might check with a welder. You might pick up something like that from a little specialty shop. Not expensive, but a lot of people just make them. I have a notion that maybe the ones, I don't know that Lowe's would carry one. You could also have your son or someone build a nice one out of 4x4s and brace it just right. You could do that and put hooks in there to put your wire on. But the homemade ones, like the kind that my mother had at her house that I moved to another house for her because she wanted them, were like really kind of, probably a guy that builds trailer frames.
It was two pieces of angle iron, right?
Well, no, they were two pieces of round, like
big,
two
round,
and a half
round.
Inch
yeah, I've
welded
seen those. Yeah.
In a T.
Yeah.
And then they had the little hooks welded in to fasten your table. So,
okay. Big fat round.
Go to the internet. Go to the internet. Type in clothesline poles. See what you get.
My daddy, excuse me. I didn't
okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But my daddy was a blacksmith at Connor Steel Company in Birmingham, Alabama for like 16 years. So, of course, my mother used a clothesline back then. They didn't have the dryers or anything like that. So what he did is he built like a T-shaped thing out of metal. And I guess it was, 6-7 feet tall? Six feet tall, anyway.
Time to put 2 feet in the ground.
Yeah, and then he'd put enough holes in the thing, horizontal holes.
Four.
Yeah.
Four clothesline.
So you could put four lines on it. And, boy, she made good use of it.
And y'all are saying that you don't think Lowe's or Home Depot, either one, would have that.
I'm not so sure that that's a commercial item. I mean, I've I'm not sure that it's not, yeah. But I don't know.
Linda hat. Justice. Linda Justice. Listen, Linda Justice. You find out and you email me. I want to know. She's the girl at our girl at Home Depot.
She'll know the answer to
that. She'll know the answer to that question.
Well,
we
you
want
know,
to
there are a lot of people. There are a lot of people out there that love the fresh air smell of clothes rather than putting them in the clothes dryer. So I can see why someone would.
I love the cling-free sheet smell of clothes.
That's me.
You know, every time I think of clothesline poles, I think of. But were you around when John Sled lived in the San Felipe courts?
Were you
coming around?
Oh, yeah.
There was this long, to go, these courts, this was a little, kind of like a project house. They were little houses all tied together.
Low cost.
They were low cost housing and I don't know how we ended up there. We knew a guy that lived there, and we gravitated over because we were too young, and he's the only guy that let us drink. And he was probably part of the deal. There was a long sidewalk. These were actually the back door of the courts. You walk down this long sidewalk past maybe 30 units. I can't remember which one his was. But in every yard, right off the sidewalk, at about forehead high, there was clothesline, an angle iron clothesline post. Man, once I saw that first one, I never did hit one, but I was really careful. I stayed curbside. Well, because, boy, if you get one of those, you know, it was just right at your temple. At the side, it was about 5 feet, 10 inches tall, which is how tall I am. Just right at your temple where it would just hurt bad. Every time I think of clothesline, I think of that. Anyway, go ahead.
And the thing is, I can always remember about them, too, back when I was a kid was, man, just, you know, Don Patterson talking about the big round pipe. The open-ended one, boy, just a perfect place for a big old wasp nest, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll get in there. They're hollow.
Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah. Perfect place to build a nest.
I didn't know your daddy was a blacksmith. I knew where he worked, but I didn't know he was a blacksmith.
He was a blacksmith.
That's pretty neat.
And he was the head of the blacksmith department.
That's
there
interesting. My grandfather was a blacksmith.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Really? My goodness. Well, we have something in common, Mr. Patterson.
Down in Kentucky, boy. Where horseshoes are lucky, there's a bear that's really standing under the chestnut.
Okay, on to more email here, friends. Here's one. It says, I'm Kevin Shields, and I work at KRCC. Now, this is an NPR station here in Colorado Springs.
Uh-huh.
I've had a Sankyo Braille clock for the past 22 years.
Yep.
I use this Braille clock to time in to the NPR newscast.
Yep.
In 1995, it failed.
Yep.
And I was able to take it to a local clock shop, and they put in a new gear, and it ran just fine. However, 9 years later, they don't make that part anymore, and my clock is beginning to fail once again. I talked to a friend I just met from a list that I'm on last night, and he said that he's heard of a company in California that makes atomic Braille watches, but he only heard the name once and doesn't remember the company's name.
I bet it speak to me.
And I'm not sure. He thinks the price of the watch would be about $150. I'd gladly pay that price because I need accuracy in my job.
Yeah, no kidding.
To my knowledge, they don't make a talking atomic clock with a second readout. Plus, it would have to be modified with either a mini or sub-mini jack for an earphone. I'd rather use Braille, but if I had to go to the talking clock, if I had to go the talking clock route, I suppose I could do that. I do have the Sharp Talking Time one with an earplug built in the bottom of the clock, and I do use it to time the brakes during car talk. I used the 10-second stopwatch to time the brakes, so I could probably do well with a talking atomic clock with a second readout.
But what he'd like to have is a physical clock.
Undoubtedly, yes. Uh-huh. I don't want to have to go to the trouble of setting the clock every time I need to use it. Right now, that's what I have to do with my electric Braille clock. I set it to WWB. It's gotten to the point that I have to set this clock every day, and it's a pain to do so. I know the Braille light has a Braille readout clock, but I don't want to have to spend that much money just to get a Braille clock.
That's right. What I'm fixing to tell him. The Braille clock.
Right. Besides, I have a Braille in-speak already and a computer for the station, so if any of you can help, Please let me know. Thanks, Kevin Shield.
Well, what is he saying? They don't make electric clocks like that anymore, physical electric clocks?
Well, now, he did say they didn't make the part that he...
Well, I'm wondering, is he talking, this clock that's going out on him, is he saying it had a Braille clock with a second hand?
I had a couple.
With a second hand?
Yeah, I had a couple.
Wow.
You sure did.
I did. I used to, that was set up on the console.
Yeah, I could see how he would miss that.
Yeah, no kidding.
I can see how I'd miss it, because I used it for the same thing he did, except that AP sent you a tone just before, about 10 seconds before the news, so you knew how to hit. We had the AP network, so you knew. I would think that anybody who, a clock shop, old guy who had a clock shop, could just put a whole new works in that clock. I mean, that's what you need. Barring that, find a clock about the right size. Take the face off of it, and if you want to put some Braille dots around it, put them around it. But you really don't need them once you know where the Braille dots are. Just find a clock about the size you want and take the face off of it. Just a plain old kitchen clock like you'd see sitting on somebody's buffet in there. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, let me ask you this. I'm not a radio person, so this may... Why can't he have in a headphone and listen to that to the clock that's on the radio and do that?
Because it won't count the seconds.
Oh, it doesn't?
No. You're talking about WWE?
Even the computer clock, the seconds would be the problem.
It wouldn't have any way to count the seconds. He's feeling that second hand, and when it gets right up there, and the second hand comes off all the time. There used to be a guy in Dieball. This guy put my second hand on, I bet you a dozen times, put the second hand back on my clock. Because I'd keep knocking it off.
Yeah, it would come off all the time.
He'd use it probably all the time, too.
Yeah, because it was hard. You'd reach up there quickly to feel of it and knock it off. Find a clock and take the face off of it. Surely he's thought of that.
Did your watch, let me ask you, remember you had the little watch that had the pop-up face
on it? I still got it, yeah.
Okay, now did it have a second hand or not?
No, it did not. I've never seen a Braille watch with a second hand.
Okay.
But I had two of those clocks. I've still got one. What I ought to do is mail him this clock, maybe another part in it, because I'll never use it again.
But outside of it, there's no way he could use something like our old radio check. Countdown timers and stuff like that.
Well,
seconds.
The only thing he could do, the only thing you could, when you couldn't do that either. No, because it just gives you, it gives you time and minutes, but then you got no way to hear it because you got the mic open, and if you push the button,
and no earphones,
so you can hear it. So he's got no way to earphone. And they don't make that. There's Frankie Brown. They don't make that little square clock anymore, but any clock with a second hand on it would do. I mean, you know well enough to know that if the second hand's straight up, you can just before it gets straight up, you pot up NPR.
Or you could put some of the little dot things at 12 and 3, the little stuff in a tube, that you could have
some of. You could put dots at 12 and 3 and 6 and 9, and that looks like to me. I can't believe that you couldn't find somebody who just put a whole new works in that clock. To heck with the part. Just put an entire new electric clock work in that clock frame. There ought to be somebody around, an old independent clock. I'd go downtown. What city does he live in? Lives in?
Somewhere in Colorado, I think.
Yeah, it was Colorado Springs.
There's a couple of little old clock shops in downtown Lufkin that will still work on old physical clocks. I mean, they don't all...
Tommy's Clock Repair.
Yeah.
He does, yeah.
Yes.
It would be neat, though, if they made an atomic clock, though, that still actually had a face on it. You could take the cover off of and be able to...
But it's not going to have... What's it going to count? One, two...
Well, yeah, three, I mean, you four, you know, same kind of five, deal if it had the second hand on it.
He needs something
for
the feel.
Seconds, but...
But the brakes on Car Talk... Of course, let's see. They run 2 minutes worth of stuff. I guess those breaks are 2.5 minutes. So then he reads the weather for 30 seconds, doesn't he? He reads the weather for 30 seconds, so he has to know about when that 30 seconds is up. That could be a deal. I may call him and visit with him.
Yeah, he might be.
Sounds interesting.
He'd be a good blind like me guy, wouldn't he?
Yeah, seems like.
You seem to. I know when you were doing commercials back when you were working all the time in radio.
Yeah.
You seem to have had a built-in clock of some kind.
I could get pretty close to 30 seconds.
You really?
Of course, things weren't as critical back then. We didn't have a network. We had a network, but, But our commercials, remember, used to run those 30s, you were always 40s, remember?
Oh, yeah. Well,
if it won't, my rule of thumb was if I can't get it on, the copy won't fit on a 40-second cart, you need to take something out of it. But we weren't yeah, nearly as critical back yeah, then as we are now.
Went over a couple of seconds. If what the hell?
There were 40s and 70s. If a 60 won't fit on a 70, then it's too long.
Mm, okay.
So we weren't nearly as critical. We were just kind of playing radio. These guys are serious. You know?
Okay, time for one more here, mm-hmm. Okay? This is from Kurt Jones. He says, "Hi, gang. I'm sure this has come up before. I'm in need of a new Braille yardstick. Can anyone tell me where I can get one? Thanks, Kurt." Where can you get a Braille yardstick?
I would venture to say that APH or
so.
MaxiAids, any of them I've seen, I've got it. The TSB years and years and years ago. And we had.
You know, the neatest measuring thing I have, that I use all the time, is Robert Todd took a yardstick, laid it by a piece of wood, and cut me a little notch every inch. And that is the handy, and it has a slide thing on it that you can slide down. If you want 15 inches, you can count up to 15, slide this thing down and clamp it.
Clamp
it down, and you could make one. I mean, you could get some sighted guy to make you one.
He made that out of a standard yardstick?
He made it out of a square piece of doweling material, or just a square piece of, like he cut a 1x4, just cut an inch off the edge and made a long stick and notched it for me.
Huh.
And that's the best yardstick I got. But I bet APH sells.
Oh, I think get on the internet and type, you know, Braille measuring devices or Braille yardsticks.
I bet you'd find
Braille rulers.
I bet you would too.
I bet you would.
All right, where are we here? What are we doing? Oh, we're going to break, aren't we? Well, that takes care of the first exciting 15 minutes of our show. I want to be the director. Yeah. I'm Phil Parr, the director. No, I'm not. Anyway, we'll be back. We have a guest. It's a woodcarver guy, right?
We do. A woodcarver this week.
And we're fixing to call him the old woodcarver with his pot, I guess. Anyway, we'll be back in more of the exciting Blind Andy Man show in just a moment. Phil Parr, and probably didn't have to tell you that, but I did anyway. We just wanted to mention that my wife, Lou Ann, and I are supporting Wesley Clark as the nominee for the Democratic Party and eventually to go on and win the presidency in November. We certainly hope so. If you have not committed to a candidate, we'd like to ask you for your support for Wesley Clark. And if you're in doubt and you would like some information about Wes Clark, we'd be glad to send you some. Of course, with no obligation, there'd be no follow-up. We just want you to read about Wes Clark, and if you like him, we'd appreciate your support. You can contact us, of course, at my email address, which is simply Phil Parr, P-H-I-L-P-A-R-R, at txucom.net. We'll send this as a Word document so you can open it with your screen reader. Phil Parr at txucom.net. We'll send you some information about Wesley Clark. Thanks for listening, and we'd appreciate your support, and so would General Wesley Clark, the next president of the United States. Now, the blind handyman and blind like me can be heard at new times in new places on streaming audio at the For the People website, from Houston's Taping for the Blind on the Houston Radio Reading Service, from the In Touch Radio Reading Service, and on radio reading services all across the nation, and of course at acdradio.org. Radio reading service is not airing Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman. Let them know both shows are available free of charge. Contact us at blindlikeme@txucom.net or call 936-634-9500. That's the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me at new times in new places. Help us spread the word to blind people all around the world. Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman. Available free to qualified blind people and their sight-dependent friends. Mm-hmm.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often. blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
All right, we're back with an interesting guest today that I got word about here a while back, and someone had said, have you guys ever had a wood carver, a blind wood carver on the Blind Handyman show? I said, no, as a matter of fact, we haven't. And the guy said, well, I got a name you'd be interested in, and sure enough, we have Dominic Martinelli is our guest today, a blind wood carver. How are you doing, Dominic?
Pretty well, thank you.
Well, good to have you with us. We've never had a blind wood carver on. I don't know any others besides you. You could be the only one in captivity, reckon?
You may be the first Dominic I've ever known.
Yeah, that's true. So you got a lot of firsts going for you, sir.
Well, there you go.
What part of the country are you in?
I'm in California in a town called Hesperia. It's part of the high desert.
Mm-hmm. Hesperia, California.
Yeah. It's about 45 miles east of San Bernardino on the way to Las Vegas.
So this is a small town. What size town is this?
Oh, our population may be around 40,000 or so.
That's good. That's about the size of our town.
How far from Palm Springs?
About 110 miles up the hill from Palm Springs.
North or... would be north of Palm Springs, kind of, or down?
I guess it might be north.
I think so.
I'll say northeast.
Yeah, I got you pegged. I kind of know.
So you're between Vegas and Los Angeles, or between Vegas and what?
Well, it'd be between Vegas and Los Angeles as well, because we're about 90 miles from the city limits of Los Angeles, east of it.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what you don't want to do.
What's that?
You don't want to start out from Vegas on Sunday evening at about 5 o'clock to catch a train in Los Angeles at 10.
Oh, indeed.
You don't want to do that. It is bumper to bumper.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. We didn't miss the train, but it sure did scare me. We had a lot of money invested in that vacation. Anyway,
by the way, before, I don't know if you're familiar with Route 66.
Yeah, Route 66, sure.
Yeah, well, we're right off that route, too.
Is that right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you're asking, excuse me, I interrupted.
A lot of famous songs about Route 66. Yeah. That's kind of a famous road in America.
That's where you can get your kicks, I understand.
Yeah, well, I've driven it many times.
On Route 66.
Yeah. Indeed.
That's my dog. She doesn't understand that she can't come in the studio with the big boys. Anyway, what is your level of vision, sir?
I'm totally blind.
Totally? How long has that condition existed?
Monday was, that was yesterday.
Yeah.
Sunday was my 29th anniversary. I got mugged on the 25th of January, 1975, and meningitis developed, and I became totally blind.
And up until then, you had what we would call normal vision.
Uh-huh. I was an anesthesiologist.
Oh, man. So you had gone to college many years to learn your craft.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And someone came up to you on the street in search of money, and they struck you with something.
Indeed. To kill me, and when the police found my body, I was considered clinically dead, and I was a John Doe because the person who hit me took everything off me that was removable, including my automobile. I was on my way to someone's house, and I can't remember where... or why or when it happened. I don't remember any of those details, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
But I stopped the car and got out. When I got out, he whacked me upside my head to kill me and fractured my skull, then took everything off me that was removable. And when the police found my body, I was a John Doe.
Uh-huh. Did they apprehend these thugs?
Somewhere along the way, through my automobile, they found him, and I was from what I don't remember anything of 1975 until June, and everything I tell everybody is what I've been told. But somewhere along the way, while I was still in hospital, They caught him through my automobile, and I understand the detectives came and questioned me, and then they wanted me to go to court to testify, but doctors would not allow it because they said, number one, visually speaking, I couldn't see anybody, wouldn't recognize anybody. Number two, psychologically, it could have such a horrible effect on me. I might have to be in an institution for a good length of time and under psychiatric care for the rest of my life.
So you didn't go to court, and did they let the men go?
Well, through plea bargaining, he got 1 year in jail with 5 years probation. Mm-hmm. I got my wallet back and my car back, but that was all.
Okay, if we came out there, could you find the guy?
We'll
come and help you. We'll go kill him.
All right. Well, let's try just to see what happens. Yeah. But to tell you the truth, because of the trauma, I couldn't even tell. He could come to my door any day, and I would not know it was him.
Mm.
I couldn't even give a wild idea what he looked like.
So where did this take place? In the city that you live in now?
No, it was on my way. I was on my way to a friend's place who lived in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
And at that time I lived in a community called North Hollywood in the San Fernando Valley.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea where I was when I stopped the car or where I got out. I don't remember any of that. At all.
Yeah. Did you have a family, or do you?
My fiance died from cancer of the liver, so that took care of marriage for me at the time. My mama was living with me. Papa and mama moved in with me.
Hmm.
Then Papa died, and my mama was living with me at the time. And my family did not know where I was for about 3 days because
really?
I was a John Doe.
Yeah.
They called the police and they called hospitals and no record. And then finally, I was coherent enough on a Monday morning for a nurse to ask me my name and my phone number, and I gave it to her. And she called my house, and my mama answered the phone. And that's when they found out where I was.
Where you were. Well,
yeah.
What a tough thing. And what age were you when this happened to you?
41.
41. So, 61, 29 years. So you're 70 years old, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
Well, we finally had a guest on the show older than me.
What do you know?
At last.
I'm said last. I'm 63.
Do I get a special award or
you do. You do, and you look in your mailbox every day. It'll be there someday.
Well, Dominic, that's just another first. You
just
know,
just another first.
First wood carver, yeah, first 70-year-old guy.
So were you into wood carving before you lost your eyesight?
No, sir. I didn't even know it existed.
Really?
The way I found out about the wood carving, and I honestly thought that was a craft that had disappeared, like mm-hmm. so many other things have disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at the county fair in Victorville, which borders right on Hesperia. And they were taking me around all the different things that were in display, and they brought me to the wood carvers. And the man had carved this beautiful, from what I could see with my fingertips, duck.
Uh-huh.
And it was well carved, and it feathers and everything, and it felt so much like a duck, I was waiting to hear it quack.
Yeah.
And then his wife was sitting next to him, and she had a block of wood, maybe about 6 inches high, and maybe an inch squared. And from that, she had carved a man. And she showed me the block of wood, and she showed me the man she had carved. All the facial features, everything, where I could feel. And it felt just like it was the body of a man. And I said, I didn't know this kind of thing still exists. And they said, yes, it does. And I said, I wish I could do something like that. Why not? And I said, well, I'm totally blind. And then he said, well, he knew of a couple of women who were partially, who were visually impaired, who were doing wood carving. And I said, well, he said, you won't know until you try.
Yeah.
So he told me to go over to the Leisure League in Hesperia, and I went over there, and that was almost 2 years ago, and I've been wood carving ever since.
But now you start with just a piece of squared wood.
Yeah.
And from there, let's go through the steps to carve. Like, what's you carve a?
Well, initially, they had me carve an otter, which with a long tail, and the head, and the legs, and the body, uh-huh. And that was what I carved initially because it didn't have any significant features. And then I went and I carved a swordfish.
Uh-huh.
That didn't have any significant. They were trying to teach me how to use the carving knife.
Shapes. And
that's what I was going to ask. And you do use an actual knife.
Oh, yes.
There is no there's no mechanical tool involved in it, other than maybe sanding.
No. Yeah. Well, after I finished carving, then I have to sand to give it the shape, the smoothness that it deserves. What is fascinating, where I go there every Thursday morning, and everybody over there, and there's a large number of people who carve, men and women, and they all say, my gosh, here's this totally blind man carving, and he never cuts himself. I can see, and I cut myself.
Yeah.
Well, they don't pay attention. They allow themselves to be distracted, and therefore, the knife gets closer to the fingers than it should, and they cut themselves.
Their eyes stray to something. They're looking at something and continuing to carve, and bingo, they've cut the end of their thumb.
But it's amazing the things that they carve.
Well, you mentioned a swordfish and an otter. What size are we talking about here? Are we talking about something big, or are we talking about something a foot long? Or?
Maybe... about less than a foot, maybe about 6 to 7 inches long.
Oh, okay.
And I also carved a cowboy boot, which I'll send to you guys because you're in Texas.
Yeah.
And then I carved...
Go ahead and give us the boot, Dominic. We understand. We get it.
All right, I'll give you guys the boot from this area.
Now, you're doing this with a knife. Is there ever a time that you would use like a chisel or a hammer or something like this?
No.
It's
all by knife.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I carved an African antelope, they called it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's surrealistic. It doesn't have, it's just got the shape. They didn't have me carve the legs or the antlers. And I want to take it back someday to see if I can't do that. And then I went on to carving dogs. And I have carved three particular kinds of dogs sitting, lying down. And I even have one, I'm working on one now that's howling at the moon.
Mm-hmm. Man.
And these items are for sale?
Oh, no. I've kept them all. One dog I carved in the apartment complex where I live every Saturday. We get together and have coffee and donuts. And I brought this one dog that I had carved over there to show everybody. And they were all very impressed. And then this one woman came up to me, and she was sort of tearful. And she said, it reminded her of her little dog that had just died.
Yeah, man.
And then,
what
she said, she said, I know you brought this particular dog for me. And I said, well, fine. Yeah. And then she says, you're going to let me have it? And I said, okay, fine. And I gave it to her.
Well, yeah. What else could you do?
Oh,
you made her cry. What else could you do, Don?
So now she has. Yeah. And she said, it looks just like her own dog, color and all. And here's what's fascinating. As I tell everybody, everything looks black to me, so I don't know what color it is.
Doesn't make any difference, does it? Now, do you start by looking at a pattern, or is this strictly done from your imagination?
Well, they tell me how what it's supposed to look like, and if they have something finished that's similar, they show it to me. Just give me an idea what it's supposed to look like. And then I have to start carving. And you have no idea what it's like to carve legs out of a block and paws.
No, I don't. But
and then shape the tail, and then shape the head and the nose and where the eyes and the ears are, and shape all of that, and to even shape the body so that it looks like an animal. if I could back up a bit,
okay.
I carved a spoon. I don't know, that maybe it was close to a foot long, with a handle in the part that you spoon with. And I finished that, and they insisted on bringing it to the county fair last July, and I got judge's award.
That's where my mother got that spoon we have, that great that she used to beat me with.
All right, there. I'll send her a new one to work on.
Let me ask you this, if you don't mind.
No.
You, if I remember correctly, you said you were blind when you were 40, 41 years old. Is that right?
41, uh-huh.
Okay, 41 years old.
Yes.
All right. Did being sighted for 41 years, did it help or hurt as far as the carving is concerned?
Well, I can't say it did either because I never saw anybody carving. I've seen things that were carved, but I've never saw anybody doing it. So I can't say it did me anything. One thing it does do, because I've seen dogs looking like this, I've never seen an otter or a sword. Well, I think I've seen pictures of swordfish,
mm-hmm.
or even an African antler. I've seen cowboy boots, but I have an idea what it's supposed to look like.
That's how it helps you. That's how it helps you, because I don't know exactly what a duck looks like. I mean, I know I don't like to eat them.
Wait
a minute. I'm going to say something to that effect.
Okay.
If I were to come over to Texas and prepare duck au orange, you'd eat it because it doesn't taste like duck.
Well, I'll come out there. You don't have to come to Texas.
Fine.
If you'll feed me good, I'll come out there.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Let me ask you this. The tricky thing to me would be where to make the first cut.
Yeah.
In other words, once you got closer to the shape you wanted, things would get easier in my mind. Maybe that's not true, but how do you know where to make the first?
Okay, I start on the body first. Just doing the back and the belly, so to speak. And because the body doesn't need quite as much attention and carving as legs and tail and head do. That's where I have to be almost comparable to a sculptor.
Yeah.
To get it, and to get them shaped. And you see, then what I have to do is carve the legs out of the wood, and I have to work the space between two legs.
Yeah.
And make it is what I have to do with proper carving. And then the tail might be a block of wood, maybe about a half an inch wide, and I have to shape that to where it looks like a tail.
Okay, are we talking about gluing some pieces of wood together, or are we talking about all out of one?
No, it's all
okay,
one
so you
wood.
Have to know how much to leave on each end when you start the body. I've done some building. I was a clay guy when I was a kid. I used to build things out of modeling. Back when they made real modeling clay. This stuff, this silly putty they have now is no fun.
I hear you.
But this was real clay, and you always had to know how much to leave. Where you're going to make a person, you form the body, and you'd make the legs. I usually made women, by the way. You
had to, with no clothes on.
With no clothes on.
Probably.
Can't imagine that. But you had to know how much to leave, so you have to start that first cut. Has to be the right. You're fooling with something, and you think, well, hell, I started that wrong. I'm going to throw that block away and start over.
No.
Once you start one,
I complete it.
You do.
And the thing with it is, if I sort of get that kind of notion, whoever is available will come over there and straighten me out.
Okay.
And then say, here's where you goofed up, and they'll just get me started again, and then they'll sit there and watch me a bit to see that I'm still moving in the right direction.
So, Dominic, are we talking, what kind of blocks of wood? Are we talking hardwood or pine?
I have no idea what kind of wood it is.
Really?
Okay.
I really don't know. It's wood that can be carved is all I know. I have no idea.
Is it, does it appear to be a soft wood? I mean, you'd know.
No. It can't be soft. You can't carve on a soft wood.
It has to be stout, I mean, like hardwood or something.
Yeah.
So you're carving knives. It seems like you'd be sharpening. Yeah. It seems like you'd be sharpening a knife just all the time, wouldn't you? When you're carving something.
Yeah, well, they sharpen it for me, and really, when I was there last Thursday, this man who was helping me had carved a spoon. And the handle was the head of Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah. What a deal.
Yeah. And it actually was. And birds. And then this woman did a, I forget what she called it now. Oh, there's a name for it. And I can't remember what it is. But it's like a frame with three Egyptian women in the center that she's carving out of the wood inside of a frame.
Man, what a deal.
And this is their hair and the jewelry and the face. And when I say the facial features, that's the eyes and the nose and the ears and the mouth.
Yeah.
And when I look at it with my fingertips, it feels just like a regular nose, the eyes and the ears and the mouth.
Well, where you go to do your carving thing, do they have any sophisticated equipment? Like, this sounds like you're getting off into a like an etching machine. I've seen those where you can trace a machine, and you have a bit on another arm that's kind of doing the same thing you're tracing. Do they have anything sophisticated like that?
No, it's all done by hand
carved.
Amazing.
Man.
That's what he said.
That'd take a long time, wouldn't it?
And they even carve Christmas tree ornaments.
Yeah.
And Santa Claus is at stand. And this one man carved a cowboy, maybe about 6 inches tall, or maybe even closer to 8 or 9 inches tall, standing, and all the features, mamma mia, it's right down to the nitty gritty, and they do it. and you know, the beautiful part of it is they do it without any huff or puff, and then they enter these things. They enter into many of these things into contests.
Yeah,
and like this one guy was saying, he's still working to get a white ribbon, which is the top, a master carver.
Best you can get, yeah.
Yeah. He keeps getting all the blue ones, but he can't seem to get a white one, and he doesn't know what's wrong with him. He said they're probably prejudiced because he does so well or something.
Probably. They probably don't like him because he does too good.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Now, at some point in your life, after this happened to you, you sat down and decided, this isn't the end of life. I must go on. And hats off to you, sir. You did well. You've done well.
See, why should I decide it is the end?
Yeah,
I'm still alive.
It isn't the end. And blindness is, we always say, it's not a handicap. It's just a hell of an inconvenience.
Thank you. Indeed.
That's
I still prepare
is.
My own meals.
Yeah.
I use a microwave, a crock pot, and a convector oven.
Yeah.
And I wash my own clothes.
Well, Dominic, do you play the accordion?
No, I was learning how to play the organ. Why did you ask that?
I just do that to everybody that comes on the show.
he plays the accordion. He's looking for kindred spirits.
I'm looking for kindred spirits.
That's all it is.
Good
all
luck.
All right, sir, we're going to go, and Mr. Shaw, are you going to mail him a CD?
We're going to send you a copy of the show, Dominic, here soon.
Now,
I'll call you and get your info.
If somebody has a computer, when can they see the program?
Well, Don's got a phone number. I'll call you when it will run this Friday night.
This Friday night.
On acbradio.org.
acbradio.org.
acbradio, all one word, .org.
Okay.
If you go there and click on Blind Handyman, they'll be running this starting at... 5 o'clock your time. And
5 o'clock.
Yes,
okay,
sir. And it will run all day Saturday also. We do two shows. We do Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman, and they alternate them every other hour all day Saturday also.
Actually, Actually, if you go to ACB Radio and you click on ACB Radio Mainstream, it'll get you there.
Mainstream is very important.
Okay,
ACB Radio.
Friday at 5 o'clock and then all day Saturday.
On all day Saturday.
Right.
And if you miss it, we're going to send you a CD of this.
Oh, yeah.
And so that you can play it for your friends.
Well, see, I have friends who have computers who'll be able to do it on the site. It's ACB.
ACB Radio.
ACB
Radio.org.
And you want Mainstream. There'll be four choices there, and the one you want is the Mainstream.
Mainstream.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Hey, what you guys are doing is also extraordinary, because you're helping the world to know that, hey, even though we have this disability, we're still doing.
We're still working. We're still trying.
On, keeping on.
Dominic, you've been a delightful guest, sir, and we'll talk with you.
Sounds good.
More of the Blind Handyman Show in just a minute. We will be right back. Phil Parr, and probably didn't have to tell you that, but I did anyway. We just wanted to mention that my wife, Luann, and I are supporting Wesley Clark as the nominee for the Democratic Party and eventually to go on and win the presidency in November. We certainly hope so. If you have not committed to a candidate, we'd like to ask you for your support for Wesley Clark. And if you're in doubt and you would like some information about Wes Clark, we'd be glad to send you some, of course, with no obligation. There'd be no follow-up. We just want you to read about Wes Clark, and if you like him, we'd appreciate your support. You can contact us, of course, at my email address, which is simply philparr, P-H-I-L-P-A-R-R, at txucom.net. We'll send this as a Word document so you can open it with your screen reader. Philparr at txucom.net. We'll send you some information about Wesley Clark. Thanks for listening, and we'd appreciate your support, and so would General Wesley Clark, the next president of the United States.
Can be heard at new times in new places on streaming audio at the For the People website, from Houston's Taping for the Blind on the Houston Radio Reading Service, from the In Touch Radio Reading Service, and on radio reading services all across the nation, and of course at acdradio.org. If your radio reading service is not airing Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman, let them know both shows are available free of charge. Contact us at Blind Like Me at txucom.net or call 936-634-9500. That's the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me at new times in new places. Help us spread the word to blind people all around the world. Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman. Available free to qualified blind people and their sight-dependent friends.
Are listening to the Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Howdy, folks, and welcome back to Blind Handyman Show. It's good to have you with us. We're down here in Texas doing this little show, and everybody talks.
Yeah.
You know, Texas, you're all supposed to be cowboy. I'm about as far from a cowboy as anybody can get.
Dominic gave
cowboy
us the boot.
Yeah, no kidding.
Dominic gave us the boot.
But what a guest.
What a guy.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he's to
hats off.
To have something. I mean, you know, I faced being blind at an early. I mean, I was born this way. I don't know anything any different.
Right.
But
yeah.
To go through it at 41, and like you said, it takes.
Frankie. Well, she could help.
It takes, he probably got out of medical school. He was probably 26. It takes a long time to get a medical degree and do your residency. And
yeah.
He was probably close to 30 when he actually hung up his sign or shingle or whatever you call it and went into private practice. And he'd been in about 10 years, so he was just getting established. And he was just fixing to make some good bucks, because doctors make good money. I know some.
Yep.
Who make good money.
Big dollar.
I, No, I can't say that. But anyway, to have a thing like that happen to him, it would be. I'm sure it's happened to people who just sat down and said, "To hell with it, I'm through with life." But he doesn't seem like he did.
Yeah.
He seems to have gone on and done real well. 70 years old.
Yeah, man.
Finally had a guest on older than me. That's good.
He didn't sound old. He sounded.
He didn't
young,
sound that old, did he?
Sure
sounded
did.
Young to me.
Oh, he didn't. But, Pat?
Yes.
I always think they're worse than people. Hey, here's the thing. Don Shaw. Let's not go there. That's not. We've got Tom coughing again.
Oh, okay.
Don Shaw bought this wonderful, marvelous house for me.
Yeah.
And he's fixed it up a lot. He's done a lot of things with his house. It's that house has a little bathroom in there. It has you go into the bathroom out of the master bedroom. There's a little vanity there in the sink. And then the shower and the actual commode are in another little separate room off by themselves. And up in the ceiling of that separate room is this wonderful light fixture.
The light fixture
from hell is right. It took me a year to figure out how to do that. I finally had to call somebody.
Light fixture / heater / exhaust fan all in one unit.
All right. And tell us about it.
Man, you cannot. What's strange about this fixture is, of course, it's got the light in the middle of all this, and then all the way around this light is a grill.
Yeah.
And it's just like hanging there. And that's the way you see it or the way it feels.
There is no carriage bolt.
That's right.
There is nothing.
Nada. Zip. You think, man, how does this thing come down?
I got up in the attic.
Yeah, I bet you did the first time to look at it.
Yeah.
Because you were the one that originally, because I think I called you on the phone the very first time the bulb ever went out.
You did.
That's the hell of it. Every once in a while, you have to change a light bulb,
yeah.
And that's the kicker
You have to figure out a way to take that grill off. Tell them how you...
Well, that's the big if. I told Phil, man, there's got to be an easier way to do this. Because the only way I know to do it is... I can get one of my fingers up kind of between the slots of the grill. And after after someone tells you the first time what you're looking for, actually, which is a screw. There's a screw on each side of this. Really, it's like a junction box up in there with these motors and the heating strip and the exhaust fan.
And this grill hangs from that junction box.
A grill hangs from the junction box. That's right. But you've got to actually reach up into the vent or into the grill to get the screws started. And that's the kicker right there, is trying to line up your screwdriver with the screws. Keep the straight-headed screwdriver on the screw while you're turning it to let it drop down enough to be able to turn it, a half a turn?
You don't have to turn it much.
Then
you can move the whole cover to the light. Then you can move it. It slides into slots up in there. And what we're wondering is, does anybody else have one of these fixtures and could tell us an easier way? I suggested longer screws. If you had screws with Phillips heads, you'd be even better. You'd be better off.
Yeah, because your screwdriver at least would not slide off either side. So that's a kicker, too, when that happens.
And they're big old fat thread screws. I mean, what do you call those? Wide apart threads, Pat, there's a name for them.
Machine screws or something. Those have real fine threads. But the deal is, even if the glass part that is over the light bulb, if the glass came out without the grill, it'd be easier.
Well, if you could get the glass out without the grill, you'd be home free.
You'd be home free.
You could just reach up in there and change the bulb.
I would never take down the grill.
Like so many other things, though. Like so many other things, I'll bet you when it was put up, there were a set of instructions.
Oh, yeah.
That probably made this so simple.
At one time, was.
I changed it enough. I could change it pretty easy because what you do is figure out some of those things, circles around it, go all the way, and some of them don't.
That's right.
You want to find the first one that doesn't go all the way, and the screws are right at the end where it stops.
But then one screw's on one end of one of those little deals on one side and the opposite end on the other side.
Yes,
and that's a hell of a deal to figure out
the one disadvantage advantage that visually impaired and or blind people have. If you can't put your finger on it on the screw you're trying to undo.
Yeah, man.
It's just a shot in the dark.
Oh, yeah.
This one may be easier for a blind person than it is a sighted person. Because there is no way. The only way you could do it is have someone, they'd have to hold the flashlight. Because remember, the light bulb's out.
It's plenty dark. Yeah.
Someone's got to hold a flashlight up there with a trouble light or whatever. It'd be hard to.
So it's a dark room.
There's no window. So I think it. What was that?
That old clock on the wall.
We're
man.
Through then, aren't we? Huh?
We're out of here.
We're done.
All right, good show, guys. Don Pat, thank you, sir.
I enjoyed it.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you coming. We'll talk about the house next week. Donald Shaw, good luck on the light bulb. Hope it doesn't burn out tonight.
No kidding.
And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Tom Houston, for coming and blessing us with the
And Dominic, wherever you are.
Dominic, wherever you are.
Take up the accordion, Dominic.
We'll see you next week. I'm Phil Parse. He said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions. 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.